Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome.
I'm doing it.
Hello.
You did the last one.
I'm doing it. Hello and welcome.
I'm doing it. Stop.
Stop talking.
Put your finger down. No, stop talking. I'm doing it.
Hello and welcome to not an episode of Not Without My Sister.
Shut up. Hello and welcome to Not Without My Sister, the cultural podcast where we digest the things you're watching, listening to and absorbing so you don't have to. I'm Rosemary McCabe and I'm joined by my sister Beatrice McCabe, and today we're going to talk about the high-end, Emmy Award winning, Golden Globe nominated, very unlikely, Virgin River, back for a fourth season on Netflix. Beatrice, can you believe we've watched four seasons of this and Charmaine's twins are only 5 months gestation?
I can, Rosemary. It's been like a blow-by-blow episodic experience to me.
How would you describe Virgin River, Beatrice?
Well, Rosemary, I describe it as small town.
No, the show.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry.
I would describe it as small town living, upstanding moral culture meets gritty gang-related.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Kidnapping. Stroking out locals. Rosemary, don't make those eyes. Stroking. Like your woman had a stroke and then like lost her reason. Grief. Dealing with grief. Grief dealing.
She had a stroke. She was in a car accident.
She also had a stroke out there, didn't she? Didn't she also have a stroke?
I don't think so. I can't even remember her name.
Oh, she's
now.
An actual pain. She's actual pain in the hole, that one.
Oh, I think she's gas.
Oh, grumpy arsehole.
Oh, yeah. But like, you anyway, have to have grumpy arsehole
so,
on show.
Gangs. Oh, I'm sorry. I should say PTSD.
Oh, yeah. God. It's like if Ozark met Heart of Dixie.
Ozark. Are you having a laugh right now?
Ozark because of the drugs, right?
No, met Rosemary.
Beatrice,
no.
I'm allowed to talk.
Oh, fine.
Ozark met Heart of Dixie, met Saving Private Ryan. Because the army and the PTSD. Drugs. Traditional wholesome small town is always an event on. And then the army.
Honestly, though, more than anything, I was like, these small town events are full episodes in themselves. And I was like, these small town events are amazing. Like the Shakespearean, they had a Shakespearean summit at their most recent small town event.
Renaissance Fair, Beatrice.
Yeah, whatever.
A Shakespearean
It was.
Summit.
Rosemary, all they did was quote Shakespeare.
I know, it was actually gas.
But there's absolutely no way anybody has these professionally produced costumes.
They were very, and then all of a sudden people who were like, oh, like, are you going to the fair? I think I might go. Suddenly turned up in like fucking the equivalent of Vivian Westwood. It was bizarre.
Rosemary, I'm not appreciating the fact that I bring up a topic, you dismiss it, only then to lean in and embrace and fully condemn
it. I'm saying
it.
You're correct.
No, Rosemary,
It just wasn't a Shakespeare summit, it was a Renaissance fair.
I'm starting to think, Rosemary, that you are actually a wannabe virgin rubber inhabitant, because you are highly unskeptical until I bring up something to skepticize over.
I don't think that's correct English.
I think that's absolutely correct. You're welcome. Oh, is that because you're from the Shakespearean summit?
Summit. The Shakespearean summit. Okay, look, let's just get back to the point. Virgin River.
That was the point, Rosemary.
Virgin River is a show about
misogynists.
A woman who is dealing with her own PTSD, who moves to this small town from, where is she from? Chicago?
I think San Francisco, maybe.
Oh, who moves to this small town to be a nurse midwife at the practice of the local curmudgeon. Do you remember he was curmudgeonly in the first couple of episodes?
He calls himself curmudgeonly
multiple
times.
And he's totally like nice and lovely to
everyone.
No,
Rosemary, he's called a misogynist.
Oh, well, listen, they all are, Beatrice.
Yes, he's not a curmudgeon. He's called a misogyn. It means I'm a curmudgeon and a misogynist.
I got that. Yeah.
Oh, just in case anybody
didn't. Was a beautiful portmanteau. Portmanteau.
Oh my God. I'm going to look that up later on. I'm not sure that's the correct term, but anyway, go ahead.
Yes, when you combine two words.
Keep
like
going.
Jegging.
Oh my God. A lot of jeggings are worn in this town.
Oh yeah, sorry. A lot of ponchos. It's actually quite like Fort Wayne in that sense. I'd say they like a kind of a camel booty,
a camel toe.
Camel booty. Heart of Dixie, though, just to clarify, is pretty much the same show. In Heart of Dixie, Rachel Bilson of the OC comes to this small town to work as a doctor in the local practice. The doctor who's working there at the time doesn't know she's coming or something. Gets like bunny on bum bum, as Mum would say. Gets in a rage about it, but then they all end up being bestie mates, and she also ends up stealing, I think, the local like barkeep from some other woman who was engaged to him or something.
Does sound similar. The only difference being that what's her face, Alexandra, whatever her name is, does not become a doctor. She moves to be an RA or whatever it is, right?
She's a nurse and midwife, Alexandra. Yes. Breckenridge, not, as I found out sadly on Twitter, Evan Rachel Wood.
Actually, oh. Tell that story, Rosemary.
I think I told it already. One time I tweeted about like how great Evan Rachel Wood was in American Horror Story, and she was like, haha, that's not me.
What? Oh, God bless you.
Very embarrassing.
Anyway, yes, I love Alexandra. I love this actress, right? She is extremely nice, extremely charming, extremely stylish, like has all the very relatable. No, she is. She's got
stylish.
I mean,
she's very, sorry, to hark back to our most recent Patreon episode, she's very pumpkin spice latte.
Sorry, I meant in real life.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
She just seems like very relatable, normal,
like her, nice.
Charming, etc. And then in the show.
Oh, they're all bored.
An independent individual meets this guy, the barkeeper, ex-PTSD,
very much current PTSD.
Sorry, current PTSD, toxic masculinity at its fore, but like masquerading as charming Sunday night family viewing. Like that's the part that I find so weird, is that like it's now season three. I messaged you multiple times because you were behind me on the viewing and I was like, Jack's an absolute weirdo loser and she needs to dump him pronto.
Jack.
She never did, and now she's still with Jack. Season four.
Engaged now.
Okay, well, spoilers. Spoiler alert. They're engaged.
Sorry, we are going to have spoilers.
Okay, many spoilers coming. They are engaged. She is potentially having his child, potentially not.
No, she is having his child.
Potentially. Right?
What do you mean?
The whole thing. Like, he doesn't know. Is it his child? Is it her ex-husband?
But they found out it is his child.
I haven't watched that episode
sorry,
yet.
I thought you were finished.
Fuck's sake.
Sorry. Oh my God, you haven't seen the final.
No.
Oh my God.
The final, the finale.
Sorry, like the final episode of this series. Beatrice, there's a big reveal coming. I thought we were going to talk about it.
Oh, we can if you want. It's fine. Anyway, like, but the whole thing is like, he's this massive weirdo about like the fact that she is agonizing over like her ex-husband's dead. Her husband died.
Only a year ago, right?
Yes.
Now what we find out in the season.
This is why I texted you, because I watched the first couple of episodes way ahead of you and now obviously have like stalled because I was so bored by his misogynistic dickheadness. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, they've only been going out. She was like, well, it's just barely over a year since my husband died. I was like, actually, now that I say that, makes zero sense that he could possibly be the father's child.
What?
How could he possibly be the father's child if he was... The father of her child? Yeah, the child's father. If, like, he was dead over a year. Like, what is this magic sperm?
She had their embryo implanted. This is like a major plot line of the whole third season is that she and Jack have a fight and she immediately goes off to the fertility clinic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot. Sorry.
Doesn't have to take any of the drugs, apparently. Doesn't have to work herself up to it. No, goes into the fertility clinic. They pop the egg in. The egg takes. She's pregnant. And then she comes back and Jack's like, sorry, I want to get back together. And she's like, well, I'm pregnant.
Do you think that anybody... whoever had to go through fertility treatment is ever going to be like, pops the egg in, the egg takes...
That's the whole point.
Better than me, Rosemary. It's been over a year.
How is the sperm alive? She goes to the fertility clinic basically on a whim and then comes back pregnant.
It wasn't on a whim. She had been building up the whole season to like, I need to have a baby. I need to have a child. I'm going to have this child independent of any dickhead I go out with, etc. The sister had been egging her on, if you pardon the pun.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then she went off and she decided he was the last straw. She was getting pregnant. Now it's all coming back to me now. Like, it's all coming back to me now.
I love how you forgot all this and now you're telling me.
Yeah, I know, but you've got it half
wrong.
You've got it half wrong.
Anyway. Yes, Jack, massive misogynist, cannot talk about his feelings, but in the way that like somehow he's portrayed as this... a great brother, a great like business owner, a great friend, excellent boyfriend, has a few problems that he's not really dealing with that well. But could you blame him? Look, he was in the war. And then they keep doing these really weird flashbacks. The flashbacks to him being in the war, I'm like, who came up with this show and was like, you know what, we're going to need a whole set piece now that is supposed to be Afghanistan.
But who's your man also? What's his name? Brady, is that his name? The handsome dude.
Oh.
The handsome dyed head dude. What's his
name? Yeah, Brady.
And he's like, he comes into him halfway through in season 4. He's like, Jack, like, I'm sorry about, you know, everything that I did. And I really want to be your mate. And Jack's like, sorry, like, too bad. Like, too bad you ever made an apology. Like, sorry.
Beatrice.
You think we can be friends again?
Once again, Beatrice, revisionist history. Brady came into this thing in season 2, right?
Oh, no, but I'm saying in season 4, he came in and said this.
I know. But in season 2, he came into it. Jack took, like, even though he was a loose cannon when they were in the army, right? They were, like, in the same platoon or whatever.
I can't
believe
you right now.
In the same
You're actually so annoying.
Jack was in charge and then he was like, oh, we really can't trust Brady. He took a chance on him. Brady was like, I've turned things around. I've turned over a new leaf, took a chance on him. Jack hired him in the bar and then Brady stole from him. And then he was like, last chance, you're out. Then Brady went and started working for the lumber yard that's actually dealing drugs. And Jack was like, Brady's bad news. He needs to stay out of my life. Brady's involved with the drug dealers. Then Brady fucks Jack's sister. And now Brady comes back and says, sorry, and you want Jack to give him a hug?
Rosemary. No. Oh, sorry, Rosemary, I love the fact you're like, oh, sorry, Beatrice. But like, yes, Rosemary, I knew all of that. This goes back to Don saying I'm too forgiving. Yes, I was
you
like...
You are way too forgiving.
Rosemary, he said he was sorry. He said he was sorry and he was sorry. And he's obviously been shot in the lung for Jack or whatever, like in some part of his body.
Brady didn't get
Rosemary,
shot.
Rosemary, yes, he did. He got
shaved in the prison.
There you go.
Jack was the one who got shot by Vince.
You are actually annoying me right
Sorry,
now, Rosemary.
Can I also no. just say, right?
Be quiet for
no.
a second.
Be no,
quiet. No, Rosemary, no. I want to say something else. Also,
okay.
It is not an offense to Jack that Brady, as you said, shagged his sister. Okay.
That is said, fucked his sister.
Okay.
That just goes to show you're such a fucking crude. You can't even say fuck.
That is actually their private business. And
take
that is not.
Your tiny little puppet hand. Put it down. Every word she says, she's doing this really weird Muppet hand.
So
like,
are you.
That's for you, head wrecker.
That is not an offense to Jack. You were like, did this in the platoon, did this.
No, sorry.
And then
Beatrice.
Shagged his sister.
Shagged
lower
his
your
sister.
Voice. Lower your objection age of voice.
So.
Lower it right now.
Sorry. While he was in
I'm not even,
with
no.
the drug dealer, he would have known.
What
he would have known that wasn't
Rosemary,
okay with Jack.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't need Jack's permission to fuck.
I'm actually going to wet myself. You can't even say the word.
Gosh, you've lost
my voice. Actually, you literally the
no, my voice actually.
The breath came away from out of your lungs.
Not even joking. My voice actually disappeared. Yeah. I was trying to talk. My voice actually disappeared.
It's just like in the good place when they can't curse.
Rosemary, I was trying.
does that mean I'm in hell? I was literally trying to say it. My voice just disappeared. Anyway, he doesn't need Jack's permission.
Jack's sister doesn't belong to him. But point is...
Irrelevant. The point is that I was making is that Jack is very unforgiving. He came in, he'd been shivved in the neck, and he was like, Jack, I'm with your sister. I fucked her a few times. I'm sorry. I don't want to make up with you.
You literally looked like bold child. Like
I said it.
What's your problem? Good job. Sorry. Good job.
I'm sorry. I don't want to make up with you. And Jack's like, get out, with his quasi-American Australian accent. Get out of my bar. But like, what more do you want, Jack? Like, there's 20 of us living in this town.
He wants him to go live in a different town and shag someone else's sister. That's what he wants.
That's
anyway,
not going to happen.
Sorry, can I just get back to it? If you're a showrunner on this TV show, right? You're like, you know what we need now? Okay, we need a guy who's been in the army, so we'll have some flashbacks to the army. We need Preacher and the whole... So Preacher is Jack's now business partner. Do you remember there was a whole storyline where some woman was coming and flirting with Preacher and trying to get him to come and work in her restaurant in New York?
Oh, yeah.
In season two.
Yeah. But excuse me.
There's so many different bizarre storylines.
I
And Ricky's gone to join the army now as well.
Sorry, there is a problem with Preacher, though. And like, I don't want to be...
He's not hot.
He is very hot. But I don't want to be past remark. The problem is when he smiles, he sucks on his two front teeth. And he goes, and that is incredibly unattractive. And this poor guy, somebody needs to tell him because he could be a big movie star. But like, this is going to hold him back.
I don't think he could. I think Preacher looks like the stand-in for a hot guy. You mean like he's an almost hot guy?
He's a very attractive person. If he wasn't being given this shit role.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And not being told, like, stop sucking your teeth. Like, it's not cool.
So Preacher stops sucking your teeth. But basically, there's a storyline with Preacher and the girl he fancies and her son and her ex-husband.
Oh, no, we've moved on. He's now fancying some 90-year-old.
His taekwondo teacher or whatever.
Yeah, she's 90. It's amazing. She's so flexible. She's so old.
I don't think she's that old, but okay. We're just used to seeing men date teenagers on TV.
No, Rosemary. She literally looks 4,000 years old. She is bending her head. I actually haven't seen any taekwondo out of her. Just heard a lot of taekwondo talk from her.
I think it's actually judo.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen any flexibility. I've just heard a lot of talk about it.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of cheese eating.
My point is, the amount of unnecessary storylines in the show.
I also wonder, Rosemary, seriously, all jokes aside, like this... The guys in this show, they're like, I'm going to bring my girlfriend out for a picnic, right? They actually have picnic baskets, number one.
What guy
has those? And then they pack actual picnics and then they unpack actual picnics, like in the park. They're like, picnic blanket, my fire, blah, 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 blah. I've literally been like once brought on a picnic and it was like, this guy was like, I brought my sunglasses. What did you bring? And luckily I'd brought all the food and the drink. But like, what the hell?
Sorry, I'm now having a flashback to the current season. There was also a near plane crash.
I forgot about the heart attack. I thought about Dad.
There was also your man who had the heart attack outside the supermarket. There's a lot of storylines that you're
supermarket?
I don't know why. Beatrice, just stop it. Stop it. I don't know why that was even in it. Like, there's so many storylines. And then there's Jack's ex-girlfriend who he was dating or had just finished dating when your one, what's her name, Mel, moved to Virgin River. And she then announces that she's pregnant with twins and they're Jack's. This is the very start of season one.
Was that season one?
That was season one. She's now 5 months pregnant.
I know. I literally messed you. I was like, how is your one still pregnant? Like, what is going on? How are these babies not teenagers by now?
Can I give you the major spoiler at the end of the thing?
Yeah, go for it.
If you haven't watched the whole of Virgin River, just stop listening to this right now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
At the very last episode, she announces that her fiancé is leaving her, right? They're breaking up. And she's like, God is punishing me for all the bad things I've done. And Jack and Mel are there and she's crying. She's on the floor. And oh yeah, she's collapsed. So they've called an ambulance. She was like, I'm going to lose the babies, blah, blah, blah. Like,
blah,
we don't know.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah. Because what happens next? So she goes, like, God is punishing me. I'm going to lose the babies because of all the bad things I've done. They're like, you haven't done anything bad. And she goes, I have. Jack, the twins aren't yours.
Okay. Oh, that's
after
it?
After all the drama.
That's it?
He planned her baby shower, Beatrice.
I thought you were going to say, like, she had, like, no babies in her. Like, the twin. Who cares?
Beatrice, that's the whole storyline of the four seasons has been Jack's, like, grand Charmaine back, like, and forth between Charmaine and Mel, and like, how will he provide for these kids? And now he's setting up a fucking RV, setting up an Airstream business, Beatrice, to provide for these babies that aren't his.
So Jack, get in the RV, drive away. You're like, no good for Mel. Charmaine, thanks a lot, no problem, your kids are better off without him. Bye bye, Jack. Virgin, bye bye.
Okay, Beatrice,
I can't
McCabe,
even cope
show
with this
show, namer extraordinaire.
Yeah. That but is, like, what? I feel like I've just watched four episodes of absolute
what?
Nothing. Oh, wait, I have.
You have. What to you is the central storyline of Virgin River? Like, what's the big question or the quest or, you know what I mean? What's the journey?
What?
What's the central storyline of Virgin River?
I only watched it because you told me to.
I know, but I'm asking you what to, because I feel like there's so many different storylines I don't know what.
I didn't finish watching it, so there must be none.
And sorry, at the end of season three, did Doc not find out that he has cancer or something and he hasn't told Hope yet?
Huh?
Did he not find out that he's dying of something?
I don't think so.
I thought he did at the end of season
three. What's the thing that I care the most about?
I need
not
to get
those
a notebook.
Two idiots. I like that teenager with the, like, I want to know what's going on with her.
Ricky.
What
and,
about the, like...
And your one who works in the
yeah, what about
bakery?
Doc's grandson?
Oh, Denny.
Yeah, what about what's going on with him?
He's got Huntington's disease, Beatrice.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Excuse me, now that you've given me one spoiler, do you need to give them all?
Oh,
what's your problem?
Sorry, fuck. I forgot that. I thought
fuck
you got to that point.
Oh, give me a break, you absolute bitch.
I thought you got to there, sorry.
Oh, you what sound... Oh,
knew.
You sound
when
so...
When he was like, I can't be with you, we knew there was
who are you talking
coming.
About? I haven't watched that episode.
Denny.
I haven't watched that episode.
Denny, Doc's grandson.
I have
His
not
mystery
watched
grandson.
It. I have not watched it. I thought he was going to say, because I'm gay.
He does have very groomed eyebrows. I know that's your Achilles heel.
Yes, and at one point he kissed her on the bridge and I was like, that seemed extremely
chaste.
No, uncomfortable for him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted her to get back with Ricky.
Yeah, I know, even though Ricky's an absolute combo. But like, why do we want girls to get with guys who are significantly less worthy of them? That's because we have been raised in a culture in which we are trained to be
yeah,
male
I'm just thinking
objects of desire. Look at me right now.
Rick,
look
yes,
at me right
you
now.
You are a male object
a
of desire.
Pure object
you're
of male
desire.
You're
wearing your new Target underwear and you're looking
all I,
hot.
I mean, all I do is just sit around being trained to be a male
oozing
object of desire.
Desire.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do nothing. For, I do
desire.
Nothing for myself. Everything I do is
for
in
Don.
Service. No, is in the service of masculine.
Of the male gaze, Beatrice.
Yeah, correct. Thank you, Rosemary.
Not to be confused with the male gaze. Like we were saying, Denny might be. No, the male gaze. G-A-Z-E. Z.
Z!
Fuck
I
off.
Can't
what did you say
even
earlier?
Cope with you
you nothing, said something.
I said nothing
about earlier.
Rosemary, your tit for tat is actually pathetic.
Oh, my tits are glorious. Thanks. Anyway, my point is, what is the central question of virgin rubber?
I think the central question is, I don't even know, like, how bland can one person's life be before it becomes too bland?
Little town, it's a quiet village.
It's such a quiet village.
Okay, Mom, are you coming in like seven beats behind me on purpose?
No, no, I was correcting your, I was correcting the actual words you're using. Every day, like the one before.
Go on,
go on.
No, you go on.
Little town and all the people in it.
Full of little people.
Waking up to say you're not correct. Bonjour.
Fuck off.
Go on, go again.
Go again what?
Sing it again from the beginning.
I'm not singing it.
Do it.
Oh, hang on, I'm getting the lyrics.
Are you joking right now?
No. I'm not going to be corrected by you. I will find the lyrics.
I'm not going to correct you again. Go on.
No. The point to me is, God, what is the point? Is it like, is Mel going to be happy?
No.
No, because she's with Jack.
I don't think that's the point because it never, because even the most important female characters are always second fiddle to the male characters. Even she as the midwife, blah, 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 like alleged heroine, her role is secondary. Like she's never, she's not a doctor. When she is, even in this most recent season, there's a new doctor who can override her decisions. Like she's never, it's very, very, very traditional in the way that I actually object to, you know, that like,
yeah.
I was going, this isn't really cool. Like, why is she?
Well, why is she crying over Jack and not just going like, see you later, loser?
But also why is the doctor, the doc, so objecting to her and so accepting of the male?
Well, she, you know, does point that out.
Yeah, she does. But so what? It doesn't make her go like, fuck off, I'm leaving. You know, she's super like, oh, you were really difficult to meet.
Yeah.
I mean, but Jack's a maniac. They're all main. Like, honestly, my main takeaway is this is a vehicle for men to, for women to watch men be in charge. And I don't think that's the objective. But I think that is my big takeaway.
Oh, it's so depressing.
Even your man who like, even though you're saying I want that teenager to end up with the guy who's going, like, she is dead right to say, and I don't know what ends up in the, what happens at the end, but she is dead right to say, like, you lied to me and you didn't tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
I never want to speak to you again. Instead, we're all supposed to be like, oh, I hope she forgives him. I don't hope she forgives him. I hope she is dead right and, like, continues and he learns a lesson that, which is, I shouldn't, like, the things that he kept from her weren't even things that needed to be kept from her.
No.
You know?
No, no, no. Well, basically, just in case you haven't watched.
No.
He kept the fact that he's joining the army.
But I think it's really interesting. Like, he kept his, he had a path for himself and a vision for himself, and he pursued it at all costs, and he didn't include her in it.
Yeah.
And women are supposed to sit around and be supportive of whatever their men choose.
Well, that it's their storyline.
So yeah,
like, it's,
just
it's
like
the male
Mel.
Storyline.
All of them are the same. Like, whatever Jack chooses, Mel has to adapt. In fact, the first premise is that she joins the city. She moves to the city where he's already the future father of Charmaine. Like, she has to adapt around Charmaine, and she does. And she has to treat Charmaine during her pregnancy, and she does. You know, and she has to put up with it. She has to take it on the chin. She has to be okay with it. And they, and we're all like, oh, God, she's so brave. She's so good. She says this. She said that. At a certain point, like, where are the men, you know, bending for their women in this show? Nowhere. So like, ugh. I'm actually, now that we've talked about it, horrified that
now
I've watched
it. I'm in a rage. I'm like, why are we watching this?
I'm not going to
watch. I am going to watch the next season though. So you're not going to watch the end of it. I've
ruined, well, okay,
it for you.
I will.
Now.
I will. I will. But only if we can like complain some more and then tag whoever the creators are of, are the of this are, and tell them that it was crap. Like, this was entirely
hey,
anti-sexist.
Your show was crap. Anti-sexist. No, it was sexist.
Yeah, I like, yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
anti-feminist. Yeah.
Yeah, I like, I actually enjoyed it, like, and I actually enjoyed the female characters that they built. I thought that the female characters were not crap, but the situations that they put them in and the behaviors that they forced them to accede to are not what I would have wished for my heroines.
Yeah, the storylines they give them are crap and definitely, yeah, you're right, are like secondary. What is, before we wrap up this thrilling episode where we give, well, actually that was, I mean, pretty intelligent for us. What's a good feminist show, do you think?
That I watch.
or that exists. Oh, I mean, Westworld is a pretty good feminist show, and yet it isn't, right? It was up until season two, and then season three with why did they need to introduce your man from Breaking Bad, Aaron, whatever his name is.
Oh, like, I don't think I've got to that season. I only watched season one.
I appreciated him as an actor, but like, I don't think that's where the plot needs to go. You do these two great female feminist protagonists and you made it about a man. Season three, that was totally unrelated.
Westworld, that is Evan Rachel Wood, just to clarify.
Yeah, Evan Rachel Wood and
Thandie Newton.
Thandie Newton. I'm not sure how you pronounce her new name. Maybe it's also Thandie. She corrected the spelling of it recently. It might still be Thandie. I appreciate both of those actors and wondered why the new season couldn't truly be anchored around one of them in their new environment. It didn't, like, it could have, I mean, Evan Rachel Wood had a large part to play, but it was more your man. He was equally important, if not considered the protagonist. And you're like, you're not interesting. I don't care about you. I'm not invested in your story. I've watched two seasons of this person, like, escaping this weird
cage, basically.
Yeah, like, escaping this weird kind of, like, monitored,
constructed
false
reality.
Yeah, false reality. And now, like, I'm supposed to care about this dude who's just like a total dimwit off the side of the road. No, not, I don't care. Like him, but no, right? Aaron Paul. And what do you think is a feminist show that you watch? Or, well, you love all the, I mean, maybe you think potentially Love Island is incredibly feminist in an anti-feminist way. And no, I'm not joking.
I've never watched that bilge. Is that a word? Bilge?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
No, I don't think Love Island is feminist at all. I think, like, I watch it, it's like genuinely the definition of car crash television where I'm like, this is awful. I don't know why I'm looking at it. I shouldn't look at it. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't good for anyone. It's not good for me. It's not good for the contestants. I don't think it's a net positive. I don't know why I watch it. I was going to say Jessica Jones. I thought was quite an interesting, I mean, like, it's very tropey, but I did like the fact that she is a very difficult character and is not at any point, I mean, she has like certain trauma in her life, but there's no sense that she's trying to become quote unquote nicer. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not
also you're supposed to just like her for who she is.
Yes.
Which is very much how men are created on TV, right? Like, it's not like, oh, this person may redeem themselves and you'll like them eventually. Yeah. It's like, you need to like them as they are.
Yeah.
I watched Borgen. I don't know. I mean, actually, it's interesting to me now that I'm saying this, like, because these two TV shows that I'm about to say are like both European. So, like, is it more a European thing to present women in a less, you know, idealistic or less kind
traditional.
Of traditional?
Yeah. Because I was also going to say Warrior Nun, and that's a Spanish show.
Oh, well, Borgen was great, where I can't remember what her name is, but she's also in Westworld. And she is, and there's a new season out that I haven't seen, and she's the president or like prime minister of Sweden. I don't know what country it is.
Sweden.
I think it's Sweden. Anyway, and she's like, you know, she has her troubles at home. She has, like, she doesn't have a perfect private life. And, like, she has a very actually conflicted private life. She has kids. She has profession. And it shows a lot of, like, really the challenges of wanting to have all these things at once. But she is likable. You know, I mean, she doesn't necessarily always do the things that you want her to do or, like, say the things you want her to do. But, like, she's, I think, a good character. And then the other one is Call Your Agent. I think that's just been remade. I don't know if you've seen it. I think I told you to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's actually called 10%, right, in France, because that's the amount that an agent gets from their talent, theoretically. And it is hilarious. It's like 30 minutes of sheer unbridled hilarity.
Yeah, I've heard it's brilliant.
Yeah, and every episode has a different true celebrity, like, guest starring on the show, you know, so like Juliette Binoche or what's her face, Sigourney Weaver, you know, like, in the first season and first two seasons are like mainly French actors because it was a French TV show. Mm-hmm. But the characters in it they're obviously men and women, but some of the main characters are women, and they are so totally bitchy. You know what I mean? Not looking to be the most liked. They're looking to be the most successful in their agency. And Camille Coton is my new idol. I brought her hair, picture of her hair, to the hairdresser who did nothing similar.
Oh.
But I was like, this one is amazing. I bought red boots because she was wearing these red high heel boots. I bought a pair of red boots from.
I haven't seen you wear these.
Oh,
red
boots. They're upstairs. They're red ankle boots from, what's her name, who used to be the head of Jimmy Choo, Tamara Mellon.
Oh.
It was the closest I could find. Like, I did a massive internet search. It was the closest I could find. They're okay. They're not exactly what she was wearing, but she was wearing like this. She just has great style. Obviously, Mrs. Frenchwoman style, but like also very like fuck you style. And I just like her a lot.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Call Your Agent, Borgen, Jessica Jones, Warrior Nun. And what was the first one you mentioned?
Virgin Rubber.
Virgin Rubber. And Love Island.
Love Island. Exactly.
Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. If you missed us last week, remember you can get us on patreon.com/notwithoutmysister, where for $5 a month, you get an extra episode each and every Friday. And we have a bank of, I think, over 50 now exclusive Patreon episodes. So if you ever miss us, you can get 50 new episodes that you've never heard before over there.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Not Without My Sister is produced by Liam Geraghty. Sound and original music by Don Kirkland. And our original illustration is by Lindsay Nielsen.
Petrified, the horror fiction anthology podcast from a darker Ireland, is back.
Who's there?
Petrified tells the chilling tales of ordinary people encountering the supernatural and their terrifying fates.
Oh, dear God! Reverend Mother!
CrimeReads.com said Petrified is extremely well written, expertly produced, and brilliantly acted.
Don't leave me here!
Petrified, Series 2, out now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.